Again, good morning. It is great to have you all here. Before we begin, let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious and good Father, you are so good to us in ways that many of us maybe haven't thought about, maybe haven't considered. Just because we haven't considered it doesn't mean it's not true. You have worked this week in ways to bring about your kingdom. Some of those ways we even work with you. And Lord, we're grateful for that. We ask that we would be so open to what you're doing in this community, what you want to do in and through us, that we would not be afraid, that we would not hold back, that you would have your way with us. We pray that you would have your way with us right here, right now. Speak to us, speak through us, fill us up with your amazing cup. We give you praise, we give you thanks. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. This comes from the Old Testament, this text. 2 Kings, or some people go as 2 Kings. It doesn't matter either way. Six of one, half dozen of the other. This is can be a challenging one to read because two of the names are so close together. So bear with me. But it's important to understand they are very different people. But we'll jump right into it. 2 Kings, chapter 2. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha, got me, had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided, maybe, there we go, to the right and to the left. And the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." Elisha replied, "You have asked a difficult thing." "What do you mean you've asked for a difficult thing?" Elijah said, "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire, that's crazy when you think about it, and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." Whew. Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. It's his garment he took hold of. He's in mourning. He's in grief. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. Ooh, it's a big deal. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." Is the word of the Lord. Take it this moment. Take this moment and think about what you believe and why you believe it. This last, believe it or not, 10 weeks, we've been asking you to consider the question, what do I believe? What do I believe about? We've had several things we brought to your attention, if you will. Several things that didn't make sense maybe for you at the time because you never considered, like, I don't know what I believe about that. I never asked that question about what I believe and how I believe it. And yet, it's just important. It's so important because what we believe drives everything. Everything that we think about and we really believe in has implications. It makes a difference. It challenges us left and right. How are we approaching X, Y, and Z? Fill in your blank. How do we approach relationships? Depends on what you believe about relationships. How do you deal with forgiveness? Depends what you believe about forgiveness. Do people earn forgiveness or do you give it to them like a gift? Forgive, gift. That's where the word comes from. Forgiveness is more about us than it is about the person, believe it or not. And yet, what we believe can have major, major implications. It can challenge us to the core of who we are because we get stuck. we can get stuck in our own stuff because we never really considered about what we believe. So I've asked you to consider what you believe about God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That from a biblical understanding that this God is actively involved in your life, that he actually cares about you. He's personal. That he provides a way to have a relationship with him. That's called salvation. It's not about getting into heaven. It's about getting heaven into us. We talked about God's Word, the Bible, and how it has really not just information for us to consider, but direction for our lives, even some 2,000-3,000 years later. Crazy. And there's so much involved in it, right? I mean, it's not an easy book to read. You need a version that you can, one, understand. You need a version that makes sense, in other words, right? That when you read it, you're not going, I have no idea what this is talking about. And sometimes when you do have a good version and you're still having those questions, that's okay. We need to get with some other people and talk about it. The Bible isn't one book. It's a library of books. It's 66 books written over a period over, 1,500 years. 40 different authors. It's a lot that plays a part in this. It's not just something you just pick up and, I got it. There's a lot to it. And so we need each other to help us with that and do really good study on that. But we also talked about, again, who we are in Christ. That what God is doing in us and through us is maybe more important than what we think God should do in us and through us. We also, if you will, took a look at what the church is. That the church is not just a group that gathers together on a Sunday morning, although we do that. But the church is who God has chosen to use in this community to work and bring in his kingdom, his way of living, his love. And yet sometimes we think the church is this place I go to. Theologically, it's not possible. We can never go to church. We can be the church because it's us. We are the church. Crazy stuff. And when you really believe some of these things, that really think it through and where we get these ideas from, they have huge implications. Also, we looked at humanity and how God loves all people. He loves the good and the wicked. Scripture teaches that he provides, if you will, the rain for both the good and the wicked, not just for those he loves, all people. There's a place in Australia I'll never forget hearing about. They've had a drought for over 14 years. 14 years. And people are still making it there. But they pray for rain every day. Does that mean God doesn't love them? No way. God loves all people. And yet, sometimes we see these things and we say, God must not. And we need to be careful of that, very careful of that. Also, if you will, we looked at how important it is to have compassion, that Christians should be the reason people lean into and find out more about who this God is and who the church is supposed to be. But a lot of times we have had bad experiences with the church, not showing compassion, not showing love, not showing grace, and so then we pull back. And that should not be true in any way. We also looked at, if you will, how important it is that all that God has given us is his, and he's called us to be managers of it, house managers, if you will, that he's put us in charge of things, some very little, some very much. But whatever we have, we're called to be responsible for it. How are we using it for what he wants to do in this world? This week, and kind of concluding our part one, if you will, for this series until we bring it up again next February, is eternity. What is eternity all about? What we believe that there is a heaven and a hell, that Jesus will return to judge the people and to establish his eternal kingdom. This is a big one. We could do like series upon series upon this. There's so much out there that a lot of times we just don't know where to go, and it just seems so confusing. And that's okay. There's a lot there. It has major implications, major impacts, if you will, upon our lives. The theme verse, if you will, for this week is, do not let your hearts be troubled. This is Jesus. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms in it. If that were not so, yes, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? We sometimes get stuck there, don't we? We get stuck with this whole thing that God is providing a place for us, and yet, what does that mean? Where is this place? Is it up? Is it down? Which way do we go? If we're on the southern hemisphere, how does up work there? All these things, you know, where do we go? I had an interesting conversation with my youngest today, and it relates, it does, but it was one of those things. She's like, you know, Dad, we should, how's Tia Nina? Or my wife's Cuban, so we do a lot of Spanglish, if you will. And so I said, oh, you're Tia? I said, well, why don't we give her a call and ask her? She's like, well, it's a little early today. I said, I understand, and I think she'd appreciate that. I said, we'll call her later. She's like, but I want you to call her with me. I have the phone. You know, I'm like, how is she going to? I'm like, okay, I'll be there for you. She's like, you know, when I was 4, 5, and 6, like, what is this? Where's this guy? I'm trying to walk out the door, right? I'm trying to get here. I said, yes, dear. She goes, I didn't know she was your sister. I went, is that right? She was like, yeah, all these times we get together. And I'm like, who is she? I just thought she was my Tia, my aunt. And I went, okay. I'm not sure what to do with that, honey. But she's your aunt and she's my sister. How about that? I bring that up to say this. How many times we just don't understand something? We hear something. We've heard it our whole lives. We never thought about why they are who they are or it is what it is. But we just have taken it to be what it's taken it to be. If you're over 60, you might remember Looney Tunes. On a regular basis, Looney Tunes was on. And they had their whole, you had the red little angel devil thing. And you had the white angel. And it was good or bad. Which way am I going? What a Wonderful Life. We have these great movies and great things that bring us fun, you know, laughter and some just inspiring stuff, but yet it's so filled with misinformation. It's not at all what's in Scripture. And the challenge for us a lot of times is we don't know what it is, but we got to rise above this, if you will, this confusion and misinformation, because the confusion and misinformation has impacted what we really think God is going to do, what we really think God does. Some of you that have been here a while might know, I mentioned that there was a family that I've been working with, if you will, not a member of our church family, but a family that I've been witnessing to and sharing about the hope we have here in Jesus. 6-month-old passed away. And they asked me to step in and do the service. And one of the greatest challenges when it comes to this is because people really care and they want to say something that will encourage them and help them in this difficult time. And they were being told, well, God just needed another angel. And I said, that is not how our God works. He's got enough angels. I said, what happened was tragic. Just a defect in her body. Coroner looked at it, said, there's nothing we could have done. I hope you enjoyed the time you had. I'm sorry it happened, but there's nothing you could have done. I said, that brokenness is real. What we believe about eternity matters. What we believe about the afterlife matters. What we believe about who God is and if he's good or not matters. There's so much confusion, so much misinformation. And so the question I want to throw out there today is, are we there yet? On a lighter note, it's a question that you've been asked probably, I don't know how many times, you ever had a niece, a nephew, a child, maybe you asked it as a child. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Oh my gosh, I don't know how many times on the way to Miami to see my in-laws, how many times my little one will be in the car 5 minutes. Are we there yet? Are you serious, honey? We just been in the car. We just got in. Oh my goodness. And yet, are we there yet? See, again, what do you believe is on the other side of death really does matter. Are we there yet? Maybe that's the best question we should be asking. Now, that has never been said, those words, with that statement. But it really is something that we should consider. See, we can ignore the subject of death, and that has consequences. We can ignore it. We can pretend it doesn't exist. It doesn't matter. This is all there is in life. You can do that. Or we can begin with the end in mind. And to begin with the end in mind would cause us to think about how this life does matter. That if it was just about getting into heaven, why didn't God just take us already? Maybe it's to learn to become like the people that enjoy being with this God. Excuse me, with this God. Being with this one who has provided a way back to him. It was his idea in the beginning. See, eternity is, ready for this? You're going to write this one down? Maybe you don't need to write this down, but I think you should remember it at least. Life with God. Eternity is life with God, life in God's presence and his power. And by the way, it begins here. Think about this, how this should implicate where you're at. This is a great quote from one of my favorite philosophers, if not my favorite philosopher, Dallas Willard. Eternity is now in session. It's interesting because it's not something we think about. We don't think that eternity has begun now. We think about eternity as when we die. What if eternity already has begun? What if? What if it's not knowing about God? What if the whole purpose of Christianity isn't just to know about him or to believe all the right things? Even though, again, that's important. What if it's to know God? What if it's more about knowing him than just knowing about him? What if we're not trying to study for the test to get in, but getting to know our true teacher and know that he's walking with us every step of the way? What would your life look like if it was more about knowing him than knowing about him? What if it was about focusing our lives on becoming disciples, learning from him, than just trying to, again, know what's on the test later on? I sometimes get challenged by, if you will, is eternity really now? Jesus said that, you know, I have come to show you life. In other words, I'll give it to him. Now this is eternal life. This is his words. He said, this is it. Let me tell you that they know you. He's talking about God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, that they may know you. That's eternal life, knowing God and being fully in his presence. Isn't it crazy, though, to think about how often we don't want to know God? Before every sin, before every rebellion, we say these words subconsciously, maybe more than consciously, Lord, don't look at me now. Look away. Heaven, being with God, is going to be that time when we never get to pray that prayer anymore because he's always there. Maybe this life is to learn to not pray that prayer anymore. Lord, don't look at me now. It's not the prayer he wants us to pray. He wants us to say, Lord, help me in this time. Help me to want to be in your presence all the time. I wonder, and maybe it's just me wondering, I hope not, but what would it be if we are there? That eternity has begun in Jesus. That him rising from the dead wasn't just a nice little surprise ending, but actually the beginning of eternity. That he ushered it in so that we could know him, know the Father, and be more like him. What if there has come here? What if he brought eternity with him? That somehow, some way, the eternal life has slipped into the temporal world. That the loneliness that we experience sometimes in life, we can find a friend who's closer than a brother. What if, in the valley of the shadow of death, we find someone who walks with us every step of the way? We're not on our own. There has come here. Eternity has implications because it involves us right here, right now. The challenge that you and I face is believing God is who he says he is and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. The challenge that you and I face is believing that Jesus was enough, that it wasn't just to take our sin away, but it's to help us to live every single day for his glory. That it's not about us getting through, but growing through. It's about becoming what God always imagined. Disciples of him. Students learning. Students being challenged. Students taking our everyday, ordinary life and saying, Lord, not my will, your will. Not what I want, but what you want. Not the challenges that I've been facing. Let me focus on them. Let me focus on you and your goodness and your grace. That I don't have to do it on my own. That you're with me every step of the way. In a moment, we're going to be celebrating the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, communion. Various names. This is the place where heaven and earth comes in a special way. God has called us to be his image bearers, his witnesses to the world. Whether we like it or not, we're his image bearers. But this is a place where the past comes into the present. We don't just memorialize. We don't just remember. It's the time when history comes into our presence and now we're leaning into the future with all the saints around the world coming together, celebrating in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, that we are his people. And what he's doing in this world matters. And he's called us to come and eat, come and drink, so that we may be the people God imagined. So the church can be what the church is supposed to be, light in the darkness. None of us here have it together. Even you, Sue, sorry. Is he in the back there? She's going to get me later for that. But none of us have it together. But we have the one who holds the future in his hands, and we're in those hands. And he says, I'm enough. My grace is sufficient for you. Trust in me. Don't just believe about me. Know me. Which begins with us in a simple prayer. Dear Lord, I invite you to pray now. If you've never prayed to accept the Lord, I want to invite you to accept the Lord. Now, you don't have to understand all that, what that means. All you have to know is that there's a God who loves you and has provided a way back to him, and he says, come. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just going to ask you to pray. It's between you and the Lord. But I will say, if you do accept the Lord, tell someone you trust. They can pray for you. They can help you with next steps. You can tell one of us. Tell me, please. I don't always wear a robe, so I'm not, you know. But please, tell someone. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you now. We come before you not because, again, you have provided everything for us so that we can just know it all, but that so that we could become your people. Help us not to forget what you've given us in Jesus. But Lord, for those of us that maybe have never understood or never thought of it like this, may we now come to you in prayer and say, Lord, I have learned so much. I have been shown that I have rebelled against you. Please forgive me. Help me to know you and follow you all my life. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Amen. It's a simple prayer. That's all it is. But please don't miss the fact of telling someone that you care about, someone that cares about you, because that so matters. You need to be around people that can help you take these, again, the next steps. I'll never forget where I was when I prayed that prayer. It didn't feel any different after I prayed that prayer. I had no idea what just happened. You ever feel different on your birthday? I've heard most people say, no, I've never felt different on my birthday. I always feel the same like as I did the day before. Jake, how about you? No? Okay. And yet, in our birthday, we are changed. In that prayer, you are changed. And you can trust that he's big enough to handle the future. He wants you to know you're on solid foundation. You can trust him. He holds the future. He holds us all together. Amen. Amen.